Gracious God, may these words be faithful to the written word and lead us to your living word. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
On the border between Germany and Czechoslovakia, there is a herd of red deer. This herd of red deer has lived in this mountainous area for many, many centuries. But during the Cold War, when the Iron Curtain was put up between East Germany and Czechoslovakia, needless to say, this herd was divided. So the Czechoslovakian deer developed migratory patterns in Czechoslovakia, and the German deer, now, of course, they're nationalistic, developed their own migratory patterns in East Germany. As we all continue to live in an ever-changing world, scientists have been studying these red deer in this post-Cold War time. And of course, we have all sorts of technological advances, so they fit special little collars on the deer and can keep track of where they go. And the scientists are fascinated to note that even decades after the Cold War, after the Iron Curtain was torn down, so there's no longer barbed wire and an electrical fence between Czechoslovakia and Germany, even all of these decades later, the Czechoslovakian deer stick to their territory and the German deer stick to their territory. And almost none of them cross the old Iron Curtain. Now, this is a decades-old phenomenon. So there are no living deer who actually ever had the experience of being shocked or running up against that barbed wire. I was going to ask what you think the average life cycle of a deer is, but I see Dave Naur sitting here. So our resident deer hunter ruins that question. Basically, what these scientists are learning is that as new baby deer are born and learn mostly from the mothers what the patterns of migration are, they continue to reinforce these constrained patterns, these constrained ways of being. Interestingly enough, there is one Czechoslovakian stag and one German stag who occasionally cross the border. But they always go home, and I think it's hilarious. Their names are Vincenz and Isabel. Yeah. Questions about the stag, so. The very interesting thing about this story for us as human beings is when we think that even deer who don't have the ability to tell stories or to communicate through words to their offspring, this is what we do, this is how we do it, and we don't stray any further than this. Even deer have the capability to change. Those two stags are extraordinarily brave and hopeful. Pavel Schuster, who's one of the lead scientists who's been studying this phenomenon, was asked, so how long do you think it'll take before these deer, this herd, reunites? And he said, well, you know, from here, probably another 30, 40, or 50 years before enough deer begin straying over the old Iron Curtain and developing new migratory patterns. In our lesson this morning about the first deacon, Stephen, and it's wonderful to have our deacon Elizabeth back with us this morning. Oh, yes. I think she was coming just to be sure that I preached on this lesson. But in this lesson from the Acts of the Apostles, when Stephen is being persecuted, we have this sentence that the people who were gathered around cover their ears. They don't want to hear what Stephen is saying to them. In the Greek, it's actually a much stronger verb than simply cover their ears. It has a sense of confining, constraining, constricting, completely shutting down. It's the old idea from Exodus that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. that there was some pattern of belief about the early Christians that was so entrenched, even just within a few decades after Jesus' death, that these people could not hear the good works that Stephen was doing. Their thought patterns were so constrained that all they could see was that this man that was threatening the temple order and he needed to be killed. All of us have these thought patterns about various things in our lives that say, this is the only territory where I can go, and no matter if there's a much bigger vision of the world, no matter if there's something that I love over in this other area, no matter what God might be calling me to do, this is the only area where I go. Even if sometimes that means that I'm very constrained, possibly to the point of death. The extraordinary gift and hope of our Christian faith is in those two stags and in all people who ever have the guts to stray over the border. To say, you know what? It's worth it. God is calling me into this new area, and I'm going to venture there. These are conversion experiences that many of us feel throughout our lives. This is when Saul, who is present at the stoning of Stephen, falls off his horse on the Damascus road and his eyes eventually are opened to the glory and gift of Jesus in his life. This is people who wake up one morning and say, I'm never going to take another sip of alcohol because this is ruining my relationship with God, my relationship with my family and friends, my job, whatever it might be. This is a relationship that has been so hardened in a particular pattern that you cannot see any reconciliation, and one day you wake up and you forgive that person. The extraordinary gift of Jesus in our lives as the way, the truth, and the life is the opportunity to explode whatever those hardened patterns of behavior are. And we do it not just for fun. We do it not just to see what's on the other side of the border, but we do it because we know that in Jesus there is an abundant life that we heard last week of joy and peace and happiness waiting for us. So I hope this week, as you let these readings work their way into your heart and into your soul, that you'll have the courage to look and see what are patterns of behavior in your own life that may have gotten too established, too hardened. Maybe you don't even know where they came from. I shared the story last night that I have a fairly neurotic fear of bridges, which is problematic on Cape Cod. I've, over the years, gotten control of it and always thought that it came about because when I was in college, my father lives in Virginia Beach and my grandmother in Salisbury, Maryland. And for you all who know that area, there is a 17-mile or 17,000-mile bridge between Tidewater and the eastern shore of Virginia. And I went over to visit my grandmother one Christmas break, and there was a huge nor'easter that came through. And while I was on the bridge, waves were literally crashing up over the bridge. And so I thought that I had anxiety about these bridges here that are so damn narrow because of that experience. Well, it came out recently in talking to my mom that she's always been a little bit afraid of bridges, and her mother and grandmother were always a little bit afraid of bridges. So it's probably more likely that through my childhood, I experienced her driving over the bridges with white knuckles, or driving particularly slowly, or not wanting to drive over bridges, and deeply internalized that in some way. And will occasionally find myself, particularly on long bridges or particularly high bridges, having to take deep breaths and not look over the side and actively work to control that feeling of panic that starts to flood through me. You don't necessarily have to know where the weird patterns of behavior develop in your lives. You simply have to have the courage to recognize that they're there. You're not looking to blame yourself. most definitely not blaming yourself. You're looking to find the patterns and to look at them with the same love that God has for each and every one of us. To say, wow, look at the ways that this is constraining me. Look at the ways that this is holding me back. And then in turning your hearts and your minds completely to God in love, taking the risk to stray into some new territory. And there we are promised by Jesus that he has gone before us to prepare the place for us and to welcome us with love. Amen.
Amen. Amen.